Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a UN forum in Mexico highlights the importance of safe urban spaces for women. And a human rights expert visits Australia to learn how the country is addressing violence against women. But first, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development requires the UN system to reinvent itself in order to better serve member states. That's according to Amina Mohammed, making her first speech at UN headquarters shortly after being officially sworn in as deputy chief of the organization. She played a key role in the launch of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, as a special advisor to the UN Secretary General and served most recently as Nigeria's Environment Minister. Jocelyn Sambira has the story.
We are really honored, Amina, to have you here and to be your first official activity as Deputy Secretary General.
Ms. Mohammed being introduced in the Economic and Social Council chamber just an hour after being sworn in by UN Chief Antonio Guterres. Her remarks focused on the need to build a stronger UN development system in order to make the SDGs a reality, but she began on a personal note.
It is a great privilege to return to New York to serve the organization again under the inspiring leadership of Secretary General Antonio Guterres. I worked closely with many of you on finalizing the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, the Addis Ababa Action Agenda on Financing for Development, and the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. Since then, as a minister in Nigeria, I've had the first-hand experience of the importance and complexity of the task ahead in implementing these transformative commitments.
The Deputy Secretary General said she would be working very closely with Mr. Guterres on what she called fast-track transformation, focusing on prevention over response.
Three broad principles will underpin the work ahead: strengthening leadership, addressing the trust deficit, and focusing on results at the country level where all of those in need are at.
Apart from making the UN system itself more accountable and transparent at all levels, she said the organization needed to be more responsive to national priorities. Country-level results had to be the litmus test of how well UN reform was being carried out, she added.
We now face new challenges, and our boldest agenda yet. The 2030 agenda requires we reinvent ourselves to better service member states. We have a joint responsibility to bring about transformational change. People around the world are looking to the United Nations as a symbol of peace, a beacon of hope, and a provider of essential needs.
Ms. Mohammed concluded by saying that nothing was impossible when we work together, and that member states could count on the UN to honor the ambitious scope of the SDGs in the years ahead. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Up to 90% of women report that they've been harassed on their way to work, according to information cited by UN Women, the UN's gender entity. The agency held a forum in Mexico City recently looking at ways to make public spaces safe and empowering for women and girls, bringing together more than 200 urban experts and community leaders from across the world. Pierre-Marc René has been speaking to Perna Sen, director of the policy division of UN Women.
We need to create a world that's safe, sustainable, and peaceful for every person on this planet. And historically, the lives of women have been relatively neglected in big political discussions. And so issues that are really key in women's lives, particularly violence and harassment, have been neglected from those big decisions. But now, what we have is commitments under the Agenda 2030 and the New Urban Agenda and elsewhere that say, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to take issues of safety really seriously. And in particular, we're going to understand that it has particular meaning and impact on the way women's lives are lived. Women on a daily basis experience sexual harassment, abuse, groping, and rape too often. And what we need to do is make that not possible anymore.
What are the situation of the violence against women and girls?
Generally, we know that from a number of pieces of work across the world, one in three women experiences violence at some time in her life. Much of the experience of violence is at the hands of men who are known to the women. partners, ex-partners, husbands, ex-husbands. Those intimate relationships are that space where a lot of violence takes place. But what's been relatively neglected in the past has been what happens on the streets, in schools, in colleges, at work, on buses, on trains. What we know is that women's experience of abuse in those spaces is it's shockingly high. You know, up to 90% of women saying they've been harassed going to work every day, being fearful when they're around banks and getting cash out of banks. The fact is that women are subjected to those sorts of treatments, but also when women speak about them, they're not believed or it's not taken seriously. So all of those considerations, those contexts have to change.
What kind of policy we can use to improve the situation?
This forum brings together activists, local government people, mayors, other agencies that are working in partnership to build safe cities. There are things about ensuring that public spaces are safe so that any incidents of abuse are immediately dealt with. There's issues about having policies of investment in money into these sorts of initiatives. Women-only taxis, buses that are safe for women, changing bus stands so they're not dark, unlit places. Mm-hmm. So the political commitment must be very clear, but really at the core of all of this is a shift in cultural attitudes and norms that say this is not important or women are not to be believed. And so this is an important issue. This is critical to the cities we want to build and develop that work for all our people. And so we must take these steps.
Multiple forms of discrimination and exclusion are behind the alarmingly high prevalence of violence experienced by Indigenous women in Australia, according to a UN human rights expert. Dubravka Simonovic said many of these women face sexism and racism, but they're also subjected to class-based discrimination due to their low socioeconomic status. The UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women, Its Causes and Consequences, recently completed her first visit to Australia, where she also met with women with disabilities and women in prison. She spoke to Julia Dean about some of her preliminary findings. Ms. Simonovic began by providing an assessment of the situation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, who she said are marginalized and not fully included in policies to eliminate violence against women and girls.
They do not have facilities in terms of housing, in terms of employment, in terms of services needed for prevention of violence, even shelters only for a few days to escape from temporary violence, but then to go back. Usually men from such communities are often in a prison, even women are going to prison. So complete setting is different because they are facing multiple forms of discrimination. This intersecting between race and gender is really key to address violence against women that is happening in such communities.
And do you find that the Aboriginal communities themselves do have the solution?
They do have a very important request that they should be fully included in all policies related to their situation, and this is not yet the case. And they do have requests for adequate financial resources for their socioeconomic situation, for closing the gap with respect to their situation, and for policies related to violence against women. So they are not receiving that. They do not have a possibility to fully influence those policies. So they should be really addressed by specific national action plan on violence against women and gender equality in order to give them such possibility to really fully participate in all other global, let's say, federal policies related to this area.
And did you visit with women who were concerned about violence against women with disabilities?
They gave me the impression that they are not sufficiently included and they are not sufficiently covered by legal framework and policies.
What about women and girls in prisons?
This is the area that surprised me with respect to their, let's say, very difficult situation in this country. I was surprised that women that are in pretrial detention are in the same correction facility with those that are sentenced, high security facility, and they are.
What does that mean?
There are many fences around. You must go through so many doors, and sometimes they are even in solitary cells, and they are going through all these processes, even when they are entering such facility on minor charges like non-paid fines or some mild things that should not be for incarceration. and also that minors could be in the same facility. It is something that was not in line with international standards and something that I did not expect.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.